master bond. There is no leaving us now. You tied to the chair with those headphones will make you listen to this program, and you will die a horrible death.
Yes, but I see you've put my favorite program on, Media Network Plus, so ha 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 to you.
Media Network Plus, produced and presented by Keith Perrell.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome again to another edition of the program. It's really nice to have you with us. Now, in the past, we've talked about local radio in many countries. Today, we're going to be talking a little bit about local radio in Taiwan, or what a local radio station became after it was previously another station. What exactly do I mean by that? Well, this is the local station that I'm talking about.
Portions of the day's programming are reproduced by means of tape recording.
Yep, like the following important messages. ICRT.
The best.
Yamaha.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
Yes, good morning indeed. It's time to get back to the morning show with Terry.
I can't wait to wake up.
Right here on ICRT.
Well, that is the sound of ICRT, an English language radio station here in Taiwan, which has been on the air since 1979. But its history goes back even further than that, because before 1979, the station was known as Armed Forces Taiwan Network.
Your international choice.
ICRT.
It's a great golden day.
A Taipei RNR through the eyes of the fifth dimension.
Getting better by the minute. Makes you glad you're living in it. What a great happy time.
It's a great golden day. Made for laughing at your worries. In a place where no one hurries. Telling jokes.
It's a day that's made for sitting on a sea of friends. It's a day that's kind of innocent.
The Fifth Dimension, a Taipei R&R, and you together.
No need to adjust your time machines, ladies and gentlemen, at all. We are, in fact, in the present day, but having a little look back into the history here at ICRT.
Right. As many of our listeners perhaps have already guessed, that was not the sound of ICRT. It was instead the sound of ICRT before it was ICRT, because, of course, ICRT has been around since 1979, mm-hmm. but that is not the beginning of English language radio here in Taiwan. Before that, there was the Armed Forces Network in Taiwan.
Well, that's two presenters, Terry Engel and Keith Macrioni, introducing the morning show, which airs on ICRT weekdays from 6 to 10 p.m. Now, a few weeks ago, I was invited on ICRT to talk about its early days when it was Armed Forces Taiwan Network. Now, those who have a subscription to the magazine, the Spectrum Monitor, may remember that over a year ago, there was an article that I wrote about the history of the Armed Forces Taiwan Network. Well, they contacted me and they said, we just found that you had some clips and you know about the history of what the station was. Can you come on and talk about it? So I did, headed over there, and I was on that show for an hour. There were also some other guests that they invited along as well. So some of the portions on today's program, actually most of them, are taken from that broadcast. We will make that whole broadcast available when I was on ICRT. It was a lot of fun. It really was a lot of fun. We'll make that, like I said, that whole broadcast available on our website very, very soon. In fact, last week on Happy Station, I used it as a special program. So you can actually listen to last week's show of Happy Station, but we'll have a dedicated link on our website very shortly. Now, the other two guests that they invited on the show are connected with the Armed Forces Network. The first one is George Scott. He's the public affairs officer for the Armed Forces Network. And he came out to talk a little bit about what the Armed Forces Network is.
The thing is that with, and I can understand, with its Armed Forces Radio and Television Service at one time, now we're the American Forces Radio and Television Service, we've about three, four times since we came into existence, and that was back in May of 42. But the best way I describe what we do is we provide entertainment for the American military, their family members, and DOD civilians and retirees living overseas. And so I kind of call us cultural ambassadors, English ambassadors for the people that are listening in, like the people there in Taiwan, is they get to listen to this, and it really is meant from our DJs to our fellow military personnel. But we had many host nationals that listened to us, like in Taiwan in the 50s and 60s and 70s.
Well, let's pick up on that idea of cultural ambassador and kind of bringing American culture to new parts of the world, because you yourself were actually a DJ on this network. You told me before we got on air here in two different countries even. So maybe we could talk a little bit about what you were trying to bring to your listeners back then.
Yes, I was a DJ in Thailand from 74 to 76. And then I also was a DJ in Korea from 78 to 79, and then I just wanted to stay overseas. I was a DJ in Germany also, so I was one of those AFRTS military distractions. So for me, the thing that was very, very gratifying back, and I'll speak to when I was a DJ in the 70s and 80s, was that wherever we broadcast, the people that were listening in, the Thais, the Koreans, Germans, and from what I read from Keith's article and what I've heard from Tony Scott, and he used to work over there, the same impact there in Taiwan is that people listen in. They listen in now to learn English, and they listened in then to learn English. And it's my opinion that we really did a lot in bringing American culture to different countries, jazz, rock, pop, really.
Were the Armed Forces Networks, were they involved in the community here? Now, I know you weren't here in Taiwan, but speak on maybe your experience. Did the radio stations kind of go beyond just broadcasting over the airwaves?
Very much. At the time, they were minor celebrities and very much interested in what happened off the military installations. And they would be working with some of the musicians in the different countries. They would be English language voice talent on some records at the time. But anybody that lives overseas, that works overseas, you want to mingle with the people that live in that country, the natives. And that's what our DJs, many of our DJs did, wherever they were stationed, me and
continuing on that idea of cultural ambassadorism, as you talked about.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, that's true. And Germany, for example, Elvis Presley was over there. And Elvis Presley, think about what an ambassador he was. He was actually in the U.S. Army. And so wherever he went, he had throngs of Germans, Americans, wherever he went. And
right.
He, wearing an American military uniform, was doing music and there in person.
Let me ask you a little bit about the state of the American Forces Radio now today. Do you operate in a similar manner? Are you obviously you're not in Taiwan here anymore. Maybe give us a sense of where you guys are broadcasting now and if the role has changed at all.
The role has changed, but I really enjoy hearing that clip from Chris Noel, and she is someone that I work out of Riverside, California, which is about an hour and a half from L.A. and Hollywood. And those are some of the performing artists that we contracted with and provided shows for Taiwan, Korea, other countries like that. So Chris, Wolfman Jack, Jim Pewter, Don Tracy. So all of those personalities are in California. But what our role has changed with right now is, well, it's more technology. We don't have records. We have MP3 files. We go by satellite. And we've gotten smaller as far as whenever the American military leaves an area, so does AFN.
Right. And so you guys still primarily provide entertainment for the servicemen.
Yes. It's a touch of home. That's really it. When you have to, in the 50s, 60s, 70s especially, when you're in a country like Taiwan or Germany or Thailand, there's not any English language entertainment.
Right.
And there's not any English language news.
And that would have been even more true in the 50s, 60s, 70s. And just to kind of drive that point home a little bit, I mean, I was kind of Googling around a little bit to find if there was anything about this period online. And there were a couple of folks kind of reminiscing from their time in the 60s and 70s in Taiwan and how vividly they remembered listening to this network. I mean, it really did make a big impact on their lives, just listening or being a part to any of these stations.
Yeah, it's interesting being at the TAS reunion of a couple of weeks ago, I suppose, and the exact same thing where Tony Scott, who's going to be on the program just a little bit later, was talking a little bit about the programming and his role there. And the same, exactly what you're talking about. People really, really, it struck a chord that this was their major form of entertainment. Whereas radio kind of takes a back seat to maybe YouTube today or some other media forms, people really kind of, you know, grabbed onto it as if this was, you know, the most popular television or show on the face of the planet at the time.
You know, just one thing I was thinking about, because there are other countries that also have armed forces networks. Canada had one, the British had one, but the most popular one of all of the three was actually the U.S. one.
Hmm. Yeah, right, right. All right, well, George, listen.
I was going to say one thing with you were asking about what's changed, and you both touched on it there, that what really has changed is technology. And we used to be almost game in town, but with the Internet and different radio stations that are operating in that national country, like Germany and places like that, we have competition now. We used to be the only English radio station in town. We aren't anymore.
Now, Armed Forces Radio Network was in Taiwan until 1979. The station stopped being in Taiwan after the United States changed its diplomatic relations status from the Republic of China to the People's Republic of China, and U.S. troops left Taiwan. They sold the station, its equipment, its transmitters, to the Taiwan government for $1. Now, that's what I call a bargain. Tracking down people that worked at the Armed Forces Network station here in Taiwan is actually rather difficult, but they did manage it with a name, of course, that I know. His name is Tony Scott, and he had his first radio gig ever here at the Armed Forces Taiwan Network.
My family and I moved to Taiwan from Kenya in 1974. We settled on Yangmingshan, which is grass mountain in English, and no wisecracks from people in the States. It had nothing to do with that. But we used to catch the school bus to Taipei American School right down the street from our house on Yangmingshan, and I noticed this white bunker-looking building across the street. No windows. It's very mysterious. And what added to the mystery was the arrival and departure of men and women in uniform and civilians. You know, and I'd wait for the bus, and I finally couldn't take it anymore. And I approached a woman one day. I said, "What is that?" She says, "Well, that's AFNT. And I couldn't believe it was right down the street from me. And she offered a tour one day after school. And I think it was the next day I was knocking on the door, right? So I got the tour. I met the staff. Within 6 months or so, I had weaseled my way onto the air as the host of the TAS Saturday morning show called Tiger Beat.
Okay, I'll hold you right there for a second, Tony, while we kind of put this into context for everybody.
I finished my homework.
Tuesday, October 22nd at 4:30, there's a girls' basketball game in the TAS gym. And Wednesday, October 22nd at 3:30, there's a cross-country meet. The starting line's somewhere between TAS and Ricardo Lins, but doesn't say exactly where.
Could it be?
Oh, wow. That's Tony, was that you?
Thank you. thank God my voice changed. It was tough to get a gig.
Well, I tell you what, we talked about delivery before we were going to the break, and I don't know if you had heard about that, but, I mean, it sounds like that was 1975 for our listeners. It sounds like that delivery kind of stayed right through to 1975, where you had this kind of almost New York, hey, everybody, the news is coming up, you know, this real kind of...
That was
Terry's impression of you.
A clip from my first ever on-air broadcast.
Oh, really?
I was an hour into it.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Well, you sounded great, man. You're a natural.
Oh, I don't know. I think the cassette got screwed up and it's too fast.
After Tiger Beat, you stayed on there for a little while.
Yeah, I graduated TAS and stayed on and started filling in for the other guys. I stayed on Taiwan. It was tough to leave. You know that. I mean, you get to Taipei's great. It's a wonderful place to live. There's a lot of expats there, and I had a great group of friends. And I stayed till 1978. I left Taipei, came back stateside, and by the end of 1978, I was on the air at WPGC in Washington, D.C., mm-hmm. which was the big top 40 station at the time. And I made my way west. I'm here in L.A. for over 25 years now.
Yeah, right. Wow.
So this is where it all started.
Let me just say, I'm back at AFN. For quite a few years doing features and imaging for the classic rocker for AFN, which is heard in over 100 countries. So,
wow.
Full circle. I know, it's crazy.
The golden voice right here on my program. I'm honored, Tony. You know that.
It all started on Tiger Beat.
Tiger Beat. Hey, that wasn't my idea. That's the mascot for Tiger Beat America.
I believe it still is.
Guys, I have to say, before we wrap this up, before I run out of time, I want to say hello to the Taipei American School alumni. We're part of the recent worldwide reunion. There's a lot listening. We had over 150 people from around the world who went to TAS, lived on the island. We had a week of so much fun. We all stayed at the Grand Hotel, and thanks to Lloyd Coleman, listening in Boston right now. He organized everything, and it was just spectacular.
Yeah, I was lucky enough to be there at the end with you guys. Good. Tony, just give us an idea of AFN and just in your time there, the late 70s. Just talk very quickly about the type of programming that we might have heard.
Well, we had music shipped over weekly. We'd have entire albums, and then we'd have top 40 hits on vinyl. But we also had shows shipped over. They were recorded back in the States, then shipped. American Top 40, Wolfman Jack were very popular. We had Tom Campbell stateside, Charlie Tuna. We had radio comedy segments like The Tooth Fairy and Chicken Man.
Wow. I'm going to hold you right there.
Wolfman Jack.
For your information, you listen to the rock and roll sensation, the Wolfman Jack Show, right here on the AFRTS.
Wolfman Jack making their appearance.
So this is how Wolfman Jack made it to Taiwan.
Yeah. Wow. Great stuff, Tony.
He was huge.
Great stuff. Well, listen, thanks so much for joining us here this morning and helping us take this trip through our time machine into before ICRT was ICRT. So thanks so much, Tony. We're gonna send you off with this last little and we'll let you say goodbye.
Thank you.
Zaijian.
Zaijian.
U.S. broadcaster Tony Scott, who actually got his start here in Taiwan at the Armed Forces Taiwan Network. Now, this special program that they did only started because of some tapes that I came across that were at a flea market. So how did that all happen? Well, that is actually one of the questions that they put to me.
Tell us about those tapes. Where did you find them?
Well, I'm the kind of person, I think there's a lot of people out there on the weekends, when you have time, you like to go and check out different flea markets, and people are selling all kinds of things. And being somebody that's interested in sound, I came across a vendor that had these tapes, and I asked what was on these. He said, oh, I don't know. And I just took one.
So just a guy at a flea market, pretty much.
At a flea market, and I went, oh, this is interesting.
Were they actually tapes? Tapes?
Yeah, of course, yeah. Ampex tape and a couple of 3M tapes. And I contacted him after. I said, by the way, do you have any more than these? And he said, oh, actually, I don't, but I know somebody who does. And we went somewhere, and this guy had a couple of boxes, two boxes of tapes that were sitting in a very wet attic. And that's the last place that you want to keep any type of tapes, because mold and mildew will form on them. Not just tapes, but also carts. This is, of course, pre-CD days, when you had one. If you don't know what a cart is, anybody, it's a tape loop that's inside a plastic packaging that plays 1 or 2 minutes or 3 minutes. And they had some of these as well. And I'm like, oh, this is interesting. Basically, it was the kind of thing he got hold of them because somebody had said, oh, here, take these. And he just put them away. He didn't think they were anything interesting, and he'd totally forgotten about them.
Well, why don't you tell us, like, what was on the tape then? You went home, you listened to them, and what did you find?
Well, I only listened to the ones that I would dare to listen to, because some of them were in really bad condition. But it was programs, excerpts of interviews, air checks. Most of them were air checks. Mm-hmm. So a few were studio tapes, but a few were recorded off the air so they can preserve them for like a month or 2 months or however long it was. Music programming, some news bits, news feed bits coming in from other places of the world.
And we'll get an opportunity to hear some of those. And, of course, we're talking about on those tapes was the Armed Forces Network here as well.
So the basic, what it sounds like, just from my impression of all this, is it sounds like once Armed Forces Network kind of cleared out of Taiwan, they just let these tapes go. They kind of went off into the ether. And that was, you know, when it transferred between AFN to ICRT back
here. Keith was the benefactor of that ether.
Well, for a long time, it was that guy at the flea market, apparently. Now, let's get into some of these clips. We have a lot that we want to listen to today. The first one that we're going to set up here was actually from the Armed Forces Network, but it wasn't produced here in Taiwan. It's a DJ named Chris Noel. Tell us a little bit about this program was.
Chris Noel was also an actress. She did some modeling. And if any military personnel out there will know that if you want to make contact with military personnel, especially men, have a woman do a program. So this woman sounds very light, happy, and she did just music program and playing requests for people that were listening to any of the AFN stations.
Welcome once again. This is Chris Noel, and I think I got some good songs for you today. Some new ones by a lot of good artists and some real oldies. Steppenwolf Now and Born to Be Wild.
So that's what would have been playing on the network, Armed Forces Network.
Born to Be Wild.
1969.
Like you needed to encourage the servicemen anymore.
Exactly.
And this actually was one of their most popular shows. Especially in Vietnam, but also in Taiwan as well.
So this was a syndicated program, for lack of a better term.
That's right, yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was just another excerpt of the special show that ICRT did in Taiwan about its early days. Well, actually, it wasn't even ICRT in its early days. It was known as the Armed Forces Taiwan Network. People who listen to the Happy Station show on Sundays on a regular basis know that I talk about a lot of archive tapes from Happy Station and also other stations as well, like Armed Forces Taiwan Network. Now, it's been suggested that we create a website where we can actually put some of this archive material. Well, actually, we are going to be doing just that. We're working on designing a website that will have archive tapes from various radio stations, mostly studio tapes and transcription discs. There will be, of course, some air checks, but that's only in cases where we can't get a studio recording. The question, though, is what should we call the website? And there have been various ideas. Actually, one that was actually given to us, and the problem we had was, we found actually the site was already registered by somebody else, so we couldn't do that. So if you have any idea of what you think would be a good URL for the website, do let us know. The email address, of course, is mnp@pcjmedia.com, mnp@pcjmedia.com. Anyway, stay tuned. When we come back, Glenn Hauser will be joining us for this week's Propagation. You're listening to Media Network Plus, coming to you from PCJ Radio International.
The Spectrum Monitor is a monthly electronic magazine covering shortwave, amateur radio, scanning, satellites, Wi-Fi, and vintage radio. which is available for any device capable of opening a PDF file.
Gregory 105, which is Peter 222 Journal.
Speed 220, Gregory 105.
The Spectrum Monitor also covers amateur radio satellites, maritime and military monitoring on shortwave, reviews of receivers, scanners, and software used for shortwave, and more. Annual subscriptions for 12 issues is only $24, with individual monthly issues available for $3 each. If you're already a subscriber, you can renew your subscription by clicking on the Sign Up for 2015 button. MasterCard, Visa, Discover, and PayPal are accepted. For more details, visit our website at www.thespectrummonitor.com.
Now time for a man who knows more about bouncing than anybody else I know. Yes, he's an expert on things bouncing off other things. Now, if you do have a dirty mind, of course, you may be thinking something completely different. But there isn't anything naughty or dirty about what I'm saying. I'm actually speaking about propagation. Well, anyway, here's our propagation editor, Glenn Hauser. Glenn?
Keith from IPS in Australia, the global HF propagation forecast through May 28th. Normal to fair at middle and high latitudes, normal at low latitudes. From Space Weather South Africa through May 28th, magnetic conditions unsettled to quiet. Shortwave fit-outs unlikely, MUF unstable. From Met Office UK through May 31st, solar activity expected to continue at low or very low levels, radio blackouts very unlikely. RSGB reports nighttime critical frequencies are remaining higher, a signature of summer HF propagation. By June, we may see 20 meters remaining open all night. Contacts via sporadic E on 10 meters should be abundant, and I say no doubt also on 6 meters. F.K. Jana in Prague says the geomagnetic field will be quiet on May 27th, June 9th and 10th. Quiet to unsettled May 28th, June 1st, 2nd, 7th, 8th and 11th. Quiet to active May 29th, 31st, June 4th, 5th, 12th and 13th. Active to disturb May 30th and June 6th. Mostly quiet on June 3rd, 14th, and 15th. From SWPC in Boulder, geomagnetic field activity expected to reach G2 moderate geomagnetic storm levels on June 4th, with A and K indices peaking at 35 and 6. Lowest A's and K's of 5 and 2 only on May 29th and June 7th to 10th. Solar flux rising from 85 May 27th to a peak of 100 June 9th and 10th. Down to 85 again by June 17th. William Pepperin's VHF UHF DX maps show extreme tropospheric ducting over east central Texas on May 28th and 29th, off the southwest coast of Mexico May 28th and 31st, all week around the Cape Verde Islands May 27th to 31st off the coast of Angola, and extremely extreme all week all around the Arabian Peninsula as far as Pakistan.
All right. And with that, we've come to the end of this edition of the program. Again, if you want to contact us, our email address is very simple, mnp@pcjmedia.com. Let us know how you heard the program. Any format is well spoken. Unless it's a teletype, then I would sort of worry. Or if you heard us on a piece of string with two Dixie cups, that would even be more worrying. But anyway, that's all we have time for. Until next time, friends, I'm Keith Pellon saying so long, take care, 73 and 88 to the ladies.